Wes Van Voorhis is a veteran medical researcher at the University of Washington, specializing in the study of malaria. He's also the founder of a Seattle medical clinic that treats tropical diseases exclusively. But Dr. Voorhis's experience and skill were put to the test by a patient recently back from a family trip to Thailand.
We had a young 9-year-old boy who we treated for malaria 7 times until we were finally able to get a cure. We really were kind of riding by the seat of our pants because he had an incredibly resistant malaria strain from the northern Thailand area. He was getting sicker and sicker, and finally, by combining a whole bunch of drugs in sort of an experimental manner, we were able to cure him.
Sadly, that young patient's narrow escape is becoming the rule, not the exception. Several strains of malaria parasite are resistant, if not immune, to every known medication. According to National Institutes of Health researcher Thomas Wellams, chloroquine, the oldest synthetic antimalarial drug, provides a telling example.
For 15 years after its discovery and its implementation, there was really no resistance against chloroquine. And then in the late 1950s and early 1960s, some chloroquine resistance started to emerge in Southeast Asia and South America, and then spread gradually, village by village and country by country, in a slow and steady march. And by the late 1970s, began to enter Africa. So you see what was once a very effective drug within about 50 years later had become much less effective.
And the trend seems to be accelerating. More recently created drugs have lost effectiveness in half the time it took for chloroquine resistance to develop. The most common reason for this is drug misuse. Poor patients can't always afford a full course of medication, and so will buy just a few pills on the black market. The hardiest malaria parasites survive this partial treatment and are then transmitted to new victims. But Diane Wirth, director of the Harvard University Malaria Initiative, explains that new technology and recent advances in genetics offer some hope this trend can be reversed.
One of the very exciting things that's happened over the past couple of years is that the genome of the Plasmodium falciparum parasite has been completely sequenced. In addition, the genome of the mosquito vector, the insect that carries the parasite, has also been sequenced. And, of course, as many of you know, the human genome is available.
Just as importantly, the technology used to read these genetic blueprints has gotten cheaper and faster, allowing researchers like Dr. Wirth to quickly detect even the smallest genetic adaptations.
So through this technology, we are actually able to search out among the entire 24 million base pairs of the parasite those changes which are specifically associated with acquisition of resistance to drug. And in this way, one very rapidly is able to determine, using this genetic approach, whether or not a parasite is sensitive or resistant to drug.
This timely and detailed information allows researchers to design new drugs that target vulnerable points in the malaria parasite's genetic structure. The same approach may also be used to breathe new life into existing medications. Dr. Thomas Wellams' team at NIH has discovered a genetic adaption that allows the malaria parasite to recognize chloroquine and literally excrete it back out again, preventing enough of the drug from accumulating in the parasite to kill it.
With that fundamental information, we're now beginning to see that there are new ways in which the chloroquine molecule can be changed or altered so that it is once again effective against the resistant forms of malaria.
Happily for patients like the Seattle boy who contracted a nasty strain of malaria in Thailand, several new antimalarial drugs and modified older medications are on the horizon. In the fourth report of our 7-part series on malaria, we'll look at several of the more promising treatments. For Voice of America, I'm Mike Osborne.